From Luke 21, I'm going to begin with verse 5. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and that the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all of this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up for your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Just about 6 years ago, we had an addition to our family of a little Dachshund dog named Dash, and he's turned into a big Dachshund dog named Dash. Dash has one job at our home. He has become our official cat czar. Now, I had to look up that word czar to remember what it means in our culture. Some of us have heard, like an official government position, like a drug czar. But Dash, our faithful Dachshund, is a cat czar. And a czar is this. I'm going to read the definition here. A czar is one appointed by a government to advise on and coordinate policy in a particular area. So Dash is a cat czar. His position wasn't appointed by a government. In fact, it wasn't even appointed by us. He appointed himself. He said, "I will be the cat czar around here. I'm self-appointing myself." You can do that when you're a Dachshund, you have an attitude. Not only is he self-appointed, but he also coordinates the policy that goes with that position. Remember, that's part of the definition. They coordinate the policy. Here is the policy of being the cat czar. No cat is to come on our property. That's the policy. He coordinates it and he enforces it. He has one job and he takes it very seriously. Now, sometimes he sleeps on the job. Sometimes they slip around when he's not watching so well, but still that does not diminish his passion, his hate for cats. Now, that's what he hates. But Dash is not all bad. He also loves some things. Or most importantly, a thing, and that would be food. Hates cats, loves food. The other day, I was slicing him up some little hot dogs, and a piece fell under the edge of the fridge. And he had to strain, and Dash is not a small dog, he had to strain to get down and get that big nose of his all the way under his fridge. And it was very uncomfortable, and he's kind of whimpering. And I saw him just continuing to snap, and I thought, is he having a hard time getting it? No, even though he was still in that strain, he was already eating under that fridge. He couldn't wait. He loves to eat. When you're Dotsons, life is simple, right? Hate cats, love food. Hate cats, love hot dogs. No gray. All that was working out well until a few months ago when we were paid a visit by a little kitten in our home. She chose us. She showed up at our home when she was abandoned or maybe forsaken. Perhaps left at worst by her mom as one that just wasn't good enough. A runt. Or maybe at best, the mom thought she was doing something mercifully, that the kitten wouldn't exist. It wouldn't continue. She wanted to end her suffering as soon as she could. So up on in our house, hidden in one of the cracks and crevices, was this little kitten. And we took her in. What else do you do when a helpless portion of God's creation shows up on your doorstep? You act. And we were real careful with the kitten and the cat czar. We had to keep them separated, as you can imagine, for quite some time. We would let him smell the kitty every once in a while, and Monya would say, "Dash, be nice. It's a baby." He would smell and snarl and go on about his business. And for several weeks, the kitten would have to sleep in a little cage, a wired-in cage, one of Dash's, the cat czar's cages, just to keep him from getting at her and eating her in the middle of the night. But over time, after more smelling and more talking and more being around one another, Dash and that little kitten are sitting at our house right now. And if truth be known and the hidden video cameras was on, they would be snuggled up probably on their mama's bed right now. Now, how does something like that happen? How does hate transform into, I would dare say, love? But you know, love's complicated. I didn't say like. I'm still not convinced Dash really likes the kitten. But in some ways, in his small mind, he respects her even in her being different. And he accepts her now as a part of the family. I think that's what love is, don't you? It's not always agreeing. It's not always liking everything the other one does. It's not always appreciating their reactions are their stances in our world. But even in spite of those differences, there's a tolerance and there's a love to live with one another. Wow. If we could learn from a hard-headed Dotson. You know, we're living in troubling times in our nation. Times of tension. In turmoil. And for many, there were questions as we approached this election that some quite literally felt that if Hillary Clinton were to be elected, this might be the end of our nation. There was fear. And in the same way today that Donald Trump has been elected, some have those same emotions, that same fear, and that same agony that the end may be near. And then, in the other respect, there were those who thought that Hillary was the hope for our nation. They were optimistic. while there were those who felt the same for Donald Trump. Hope and optimism. And today I must say that the election of Donald Trump has inspired much gratitude by people of faith in our land to say God has not forsaken our country. For many times. It's been a renewal of joy, and I celebrate with you the hope that can possibly come through his reign, just as President Obama said, who said, we strive now to make him as successful as we can, because as he's successful, we're all successful. But just as I celebrate with those of us who feel that God has looked favorably upon us, I still consider my brother and sister who lives in fear at the thought of this election. I think of my friends who have worry and anxiety with this change. So I approach this season in our nation with great gratitude to God for what could possibly come through his good, but also concern for those who also heartache. That's, my friends, I'm convinced, what it means to love. To not always agree. To not always even like. But relentlessly love all of God's children. You know, I'm encouraged by our scripture today where Jesus says this. When you find times of turmoil in your land, it's tempting to think this is the end. The end of our nation, perhaps, or the end of the world. That was the discussion by these in our text when they considered that Jesus said, you see this temple? Well, not a stone will be left unturned. They said, oh my, when will this be? And Jesus said, this is not the end. He says here in scripture, he says beginning in verse 9, you'll hear of wars. You hear of insurrection. You'll hear of hate. You'll hear of earthquakes as we heard this morning in New Zealand. But friends, do not worry. Do not fear, says the Lord, for I am still with you. God is here. God has not forsaken our land. Even as we as a nation at times have turned from God, God has not turned from us, and nor will he now. So we give praise and we pray. If your candidate won the election this week, then pray, church. If your candidate lost the election this week, then pray, church. That is what unites us in the Lord. His grace and strength for us all. Maybe the question arises, if not to worry, if not to fear, then what do we do? Jesus says this in verse 13. He says, make up your time to do this, to take this opportunity, this challenge that we often hear, this problem in our world. You remember leadership gurus who often say, you see a problem. They said, don't call it a problem. Call it what? Call it an opportunity. They got that from Jesus. For here he says in verse 13, when you're presented with these problems as a nation, these perils facing our world, then seize this opportunity as a time to testify for me. How do we testify for Jesus? We live in his ways. We embrace his love. We proclaim him in all we do. But the question may arise as we reflect upon this passage, as we wrestle with this sermon together. The question may arise, Jody,
How do we love when it's hard, when we're angry, when we're hurt? How do we move on? How do we unite again as a nation, as a family when we're hurt, as a church maybe when we're separated? Friends, I'm convinced we do it by returning to our God. And the greatest way that I know to do that is to embrace the words of this passage through an acronym that I'm going to share with you today called PRAY. We pray. The first letter of that acronym, the P, if we're going to talk about pray, then it certainly must be prayer. We get personal with Christ. How do we reunite this nation? How do we move beyond hate and a resurgence of love? Friends, we get personal with the giver of love. Doesn't that make sense? If we want to learn how to love more intimately, we learn to embrace the one who made love most of all. Jesus said, I am love. So we, in the spirit of the disciples, we get more personal with Him. That's what happened in our passage today. It says they were walking with Jesus. They were talking with Jesus. The scripture began there in verse 5 where they said, Jesus. They asked Him a question. He answered. Prayer, friends, is a time where we talk and grow in relationship with Jesus. We pray. We study scripture. We get personal with our Lord. We embody the first letter of the PRAY acronym, and then we move on to the second letter, the R, where we repent. What does it mean to repent? If we're going to get closer to Jesus, then we also need to turn away from the things that separate us from Jesus. That's all repentance is. It's turning away from something that separates us from God and turning more closely to God. You see, Jesus talks about that in our passage today. When He says here, He says that there'll be those who come in My name. Don't listen to them. Don't follow them when they try to incite you, when they try to build up hate in our world or turn you against one another. Jesus says those false prophets are not to be heard. You need to turn from them. Friends, whatever's promoting more dissension, more pain in our world, maybe it's watching too much Fox News or too much CNN, I don't know. Whatever is inspiring more anger in your life, then consider turning from that too. Repent. Turn from the world, turn toward Christ. The second letter of the PRAY acronym is the A, and that symbolizes for me the glory of God, the worship of God, the affirmation of the One on High. The A is for adore. Giving God our adoration. That's what we do on Sunday morning. That's why we go to church. That's what we need to restore this land. We've got to fill these churches up. We've got to find a church where we're at peace, where we're growing, where we're accepted, whether we're listening to this sermon today here in this sanctuary or by audio this week. Get into church, go to worship, and grow in the glory of God. We begin personally with our intimate daily walk with Jesus. That's the P. We repent. We turn from the things that separate us from Christ. Then we join together in worship, in adoring God collectively and corporately every week. How many times have you said or considered to yourself how much better your week goes when you began it in worship? We must come into the house of God and glorify Him. That's embodied in our scripture today. Jesus says in verse 37, which I didn't read here, a verse of chapter 21 today, that as He was in Jerusalem, every day He was in the temple giving glory
to God the Father. Wow. If Jesus understood the importance of worship to our joy, to our happiness, then friends, we should embrace that as well. It's a gift to us. Please understand, I'm not preaching at you this morning. I'm imploring you to embrace life for all of its joy by getting into worship and growing in God's glory weekly together. And finally, the last letter of the acronym as we grow in our prayer life is the why. We yoke ourselves to Christ. We follow in His way. You know, when we think about those animals that pull the yoke, those oxen that were strong, I've heard it said before that oftentimes when they've got a young calf or a young mule that's pulling a plow, they put them with a wise, strong, and smart one who pulls most of the load for them. Friends, Jesus said this in Scripture, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Friends, we yoke ourselves to Christ. That's how we grow in love, in prayer. We do what He does, and this will be the result. If we embody this prayer acronym, He says here in verse 19, by your endurance you will gain your souls, our translation says here. But the Greek more clearly interprets that word, you will gain your life. By doing this. By doing what? Maybe the question rises. What is Jesus saying? He says by doing this, you will gain your life. You know, Jesus said that one other place in the Gospel of Luke. It was in chapter 10. A text that's become familiar to many of us where a rich man says to Jesus, what must I do to inherit life? You remember that question? And Jesus says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. By doing this, you will live. So friends, the hope for our land to live our best life as a nation, as a family, as parents, as colleagues in the workplace, is to embrace the call of Jesus Christ, to yoke ourselves to Him and to love even when it's hard. Love. That turns dogs and cats from enemies. Love that helps Republicans and Democrats work together. Love, the hope for Christians and Muslims to coexist in this world. Love. And the way we embody it, most of all, is to begin in prayer. Friend, if you today are not ready to love, if you're not quite ready to bury the hatchet, and I understand, I've been there, I've done that. If you're still not ready to love, well then will you at least strive to do this? Will you pray? And will you grow in God's grace? And let His love grow in you. Amen.